Ezekiel 17, 22 through 24. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Mark. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace is ours this day because of Jesus the Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, fear is really an odd thing. In so many ways, fear is irrational. No matter how many times I tell my family that spider in the bathroom isn't poisonous and really isn't all that bad, they still want me to come and kill it. Fear paralyzes us. It distorts our lives. At times, fear can even imprison us. Mark writes his gospel to a community of believers overcome with fear because they're being so severely persecuted. Christ followers are being tortured and dying for the faith. So today we begin a multi-week series of gospel readings from Mark chapters 4 through 6, which speak quite pointedly to some of the fears we continue to face even today. Beloved, what are some of our fears as this family of faith called Christ the Vine? Are we afraid that even when all this COVID stuff is finally over, people won't come back to church? Are we afraid of launching new ministries here at Christ the Vine because of all of the uncertainty still lingering from all this COVID stuff? Are we afraid of failure in our ministry? Are we afraid of conflict? Are we afraid that we as a congregation keep getting older and grayer and there just aren't as many young families among us anymore? What are we afraid of as a family of faith? How many times does Jesus say to his disciples and to us, stop being afraid? Fear blinds us to who we really are in Christ. Fear blinds us to what God is really doing among us. But God speaks into our fears. He brings us His mercy and grace. God uses St. John, for example, in his first letter to remind us that God's perfect love for us in Jesus drives away all fear. And that's exactly what we see in all three of our readings today. So let's dig deeper. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 17. Ezekiel is God's prophet during the 70 years God's people are living in exile in Babylon. They've seen their leaders executed. They've seen their country destroyed. They've seen themselves carried off into captivity. All hope is gone. There's nothing left but despair and fear. But God uses Ezekiel to speak into this despair and fear. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the forest will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. And I will do it. These three short verses come from Ezekiel's own time of discouragement, when he feels utterly helpless in getting God's people to accept the reality of their exile in Babylon. In the previous chapter, chapter 16, Ezekiel speaks harsh words of judgment, even calling God's people the whore Israel, because of their unfaithfulness to the Lord. But at the end of chapter 16, Ezekiel proclaims God's unconditional love for them in spite of their unfaithfulness. And he tells them that everything that's happening to them during this time of exile is actually God at work in their lives. So there's no need to despair. There's no need to be afraid. Earlier in chapter 17, just before our reading today, and here comes that piece of art on page 2, Ezekiel shares with God's people a parable about an eagle plucking the top of a cedar tree and planting it by a river so that it might grow. Ezekiel uses this parable to tell God's people the truth about their exile. Yes, their leaders have been executed. Yes, they've seen their country destroyed. Yes, they're living in a foreign land. By the rivers of Babylon, says the psalmist, we sat down and wept. But in reality, God is still very much at work in their lives. He hasn't abandoned them at all. Babylon is his tool, his instrument. And just like the eagle in the parable, this Babylon has plucked God's people away and planted them by the river Euphrates. This is where they must live and grow for a while. But the day will come, says Ezekiel in our reading this morning, when God will work the great reversal and take them back home. God will do for his people exactly what the eagle did in the parable. He will pluck a sprig from the top of the tree. He'll plant this sprig on a high and lofty mountain in Israel. No longer will they be planted by the Euphrates River. They will be planted back home. He will plant this sprig on Mount Zion, the very center of God's kingdom, and he will make this tiny sprig grow into a mighty tree. So there's nothing to be afraid of, even during this time of exile in Babylon. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it, says the Lord. God is indeed still at work in their lives, even when they may not be able to see it. God is indeed still holding them close, showering them with mercy and grace, even when they're feeling abandoned and afraid. God will indeed make all things new in their lives. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. That's his promise. These three short verses of our Old Testament reading this morning show us God once again doing the impossible. He turns the world upside down. He works the great reversal in our lives. He makes all things new in our lives. God takes a tiny sprig and grows it into a mighty tree. So don't be afraid. God's kingdom grows, even when we may not be able to see it. This is how God works in our lives. And that, my beloved, brings us to our gospel reading this morning in Mark chapter 4. Here in our gospel reading, Jesus shares two parables with us. And both of these parables need to be heard in the context of the parable of the sower, which comes just before our reading today. Again, the artwork on the cover of the bulletin. And I'm sure we're all familiar with this parable of the sower. A farmer sows seed. Some of the seed falls on the hard path. Some falls on rocky ground. Some falls among the thorns. And some falls on good soil. Unfortunately, all too often, we hear this parable of the sower as an exhortation to be good soil. But I don't think that's what this parable is really about at all. This parable is much more about the lavishness of God's grace. The farmer lavishly spreads the seed everywhere. He knows not all of the seed's going to sprout and grow, but that's okay. What's really important is sowing the seed everywhere so that at least some of the seed can grow somewhere. Again, remember, Mark writes his gospel for Christ followers feeling incredibly discouraged, perhaps even a bit hopeless, and certainly afraid. They're being persecuted. They're wondering why all these terrible things are happening to them. They're asking questions of themselves and of God. Have they made God angry somehow? Is God really able to do something about their situation? If yes, then why doesn't he do something? Where is he in all of this? So Mark shares some very specific things in his gospel. to answer these questions. In fact, he shares Jesus' parable of a sower to remind us that as powerful as God's word is, it's not always successful. In this parable of the sower, God's word, the seed, finds good soil to grow in only about 25% of the time. So the fact they're being persecuted, perhaps even by those they tried to share the gospel with, is not a sign God's kingdom is a failure. It's unfortunate and very sad, but it's actually rather normal for people to push Jesus away. It's normal for people to refuse to receive the forgiveness, life, and salvation he so freely gives. So just because our message about Jesus hasn't won over every heart does not mean that's a sign of God's failure or our failure. It's just the way the kingdom of God works. If our proclamation of the good news doesn't seem to be bearing much fruit right now, it's all too easy for us to think somehow we've messed up. Maybe we haven't told the story properly. Maybe we failed to water the seed at the right time. Maybe we failed to keep the weeds down. And those are all very good questions to ask ourselves. But beloved, there are also times when we do things in fear and overreaction that are actually detrimental for growing good plants. In our desperation and fear, we overreact. Too much water can kill a plant. Too much fertilizer can kill the grass, right? And that's why the two parables in our gospel reading this morning are so important for us. Our Lord's first parable in our gospel reading this morning, the parable of the growing seed, speaks to our desperation and fear, our tendency to overreact, our tendency to think that the growth of God's kingdom really depends all on us. By the way, Mark's the only gospel that shares this parable of the growing seed. And the truth of this parable is really quite simple. God's kingdom grows when God makes it grow, which is a mysterious and marvelous thing. Beloved, it's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's about God and what He does. Now, to be sure, God invites us to participate in His work. In fact, He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to participate in His work. But it's still His work, not ours. This is what the kingdom of God is like, says Jesus. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Beloved, notice what happens here. The farmer plants the seed, then he goes to bed. All the farmer can do is trust the seeds will sprout, and soon they do. Even though the farmer really doesn't understand how all this happens, he simply trusts it will happen because that's how seeds work. And he's thankful for the miracle. The seed sprouts and grows automatically. That's literally the word Mark uses here in Greek, automatically. The seed sprouts and grows all on its own. It just grows. We can't control it. We can't manipulate it. It just grows. And that's the way it is with God's kingdom. We plant the gospel seeds, and then God's kingdom grows. We can't control it. We can't manipulate it. It just grows. This parable of the growing seed reminds us that the growth of God's kingdom, whether it's here at Christ the Vine or the whole kingdom of God throughout the world, is something God does in His own miraculous way, in His own perfect timing. growing God's kingdom is not something we do. It's something God does. Beloved, God's kingdom grows. What started as a tiny band of 12 has now become a worldwide movement of millions upon millions of people in every nook and cranny on this planet, empowered by the Holy Spirit, proclaiming the good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation in Jesus, and loving those around them with the love of Jesus. So don't be afraid. God's kingdom grows. And that brings us to the second parable in our gospel reading this morning, the parable of the mustard seed. The mustard seed looks like nothing. It's so tiny, you can barely see it. And yet, somehow, this tiny seed grows into a huge bush. How does God pack everything that's going to be this huge bush into this teeny, tiny little seed? What an incredible miracle. Again, Jesus says, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which becomes which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." Beloved, sometimes we look at God's word the same way we look at a mustard seed. In the face of all our fears and doubts, God's word sometimes seems so small, so inadequate, so insignificant. But God's word, God's kingdom, simply cannot be judged by its cover, by what you see. A Nazareth carpenter, beaten bloody and nailed to a cross, is in reality the Lord of life, the Savior of the world. And those first 12 disciples certainly didn't look like much. A bunch of uneducated fishermen. And yet, God used them to turn the whole world upside down with the gospel. And then there's you and me. If we're honest with ourselves, we really don't look like much either, do we? And yet, God uses us to plant seeds. Seeds he will grow into something significant and meaningful. A place of shelter and sanctuary. A place of hope and peace. A place of welcome and love in the name of Jesus. That's what the kingdom of God is like. So don't be afraid, beloved. God's kingdom grows. And that, my beloved, brings us at last to our epistle reading this morning in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. I'd like to focus our attention on the last half of our reading in particular. Here in our epistle reading this morning, Paul reinforces what we just heard from Jesus in our gospel reading this morning. We don't have to be afraid. God's kingdom grows. Our hope is secure. Heaven is our home now and for all eternity. We may long to go home to heaven, but we have a God-given purpose here and now. We have a Spirit-empowered ministry here and now. Therefore, we are always confident, says Paul. We don't need to be afraid. God's kingdom grows. For we live by faith, not by sight, says Paul. So even though we might, in the words of Paul, prefer to be away from the body and with the Lord, we make it our goal to please him. He's the one who invites us to participate in his work here in this place. He's the one who empowers us by the Spirit to plant gospel seeds wherever and whenever we can. He's the one who calls us to trust that he is indeed at work in us, through us, and among us, even if we sometimes find it difficult to see. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be excited and passionate about our ministry together in this place. Don't be afraid to be excited and passionate about our ministry together as the people of God called Christ the Vine. God's kingdom grows. Beloved, that's how we live our lives as Christ followers in this place. Amen. Amen.